I'm excited about teaching the word today, and I love to teach the Easter story in some 30 plus years of preaching. I think I have preached this story from every angle and from every verse and from every look and possibility there is, but it's always fresh to me, and I get excited about communicating, teaching, preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And I'm so glad you're here today to hear the word, and I pray the word will bless your life. We often say that this will bless and build your life, and we're seeing God do that great work in each of our lives because he is alive. And you and I are alive today, and this church is alive. Our families are alive. Our marriages are alive. Our finances, our relationships, every aspect. Listen, you don't have to go through life depressed. You don't have to go through life overwhelmed with anxiety. I know the emotion is the battlefield in 2024, and we're all feeling pressure, and we're all feeling the pull and really the struggle of life. But hear me, the presence of the Lord makes the difference. It makes the difference in your life. And again, if you're our guest today, don't be bashful. Text the word hello to 404-777-4701. My wife and I haven't had the opportunity to meet you. We are excited about that chance. We're always around after the service in the lobby or right here in the auditorium, and we'd love to just say hello and welcome you today. John 10:10, Jesus is speaking. He said, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Jesus said, "The devil has his purpose and I have my purpose. The devil has his plan for your life and I have my plan for your life." You and I get to decide who wins that fight. You say, what are the stakes? What is the bet? It really is this simple. It's the pleasure of sin for a season, or it's that there I am so that you can be there also. It's Easter. It is eternity from Covington to eternity. We've been in a series the last couple of weeks called just that, from Covington to eternity. And now today we are at Easter, and we've got to figure out how to get from here, from where we are, from this place and from this mental space and from this emotional makeup. I got to figure out how to get from where I am to where he is. From Easter to eternity. And as I've said in the last couple of weeks, eternity is hard to grasp. It's hard to wrap our minds around. Right now, we're trying to figure out, man, how long is he gonna preach? And how many eggs are my kids gonna get? And is the roast going to burn? And I'm not being flippant, but the reality is we are a distracted people. We are a people who are being pulled in every direction. And everything is happening at warp speed, and we barely can keep up with our own details, much less this other information that you are presenting to us. And I'm not so sure if I can just be honest and preach like I preach every Sunday. I'm not so sure that we are not desensitized just a bit as a people. I don't know if we are moved as much, if we are stirred as much, or that same truth just kind of prods us in the same way that it used to. So this Easter, I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about eternity. In fact, let me tell you about the third thief. The third thief. What makes Easter Easter is that Jesus died on a cross and 3 days later rose from the dead. It literally separates him from any other god, small g god, that you may want to compare him to. And just a side note today, that is why our worship is alive. That's why this word is alive, because he is alive and he is alive inside of us. We're not worshiping a dead God. We're not preaching about a God who, lived in history. He lives right now. He is alive in this room, is alive in your life and wants to lead and direct and order the steps of your life. Jesus died, but interestingly enough, Jesus did not die alone. Yes, he is the center of this story, as he should be, but also literally, he has two criminals on either side of him. Luke chapter 23 and verse 32 says that two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place of the skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. We don't know a lot about these other men, and yet we know a great deal about them. Some of the information is implied in the text, and some of it is history. Of course, Matthew called them thieves, and Mark called them rebels, and Luke in our text reading this morning clearly says they were criminals. They were two criminals, two thieves, one right and one left, two. But I'm not sure this Easter that there wasn't a third thief. And I don't want to mess with your theology today, and I don't want to offend anybody, and probably I need to leave that alone and just get back to history. But verse 39 says that one of the criminals, history identifies this man, names this man Gestas, G-E-S-T-A-S. He hung there and hurled insults at Jesus. "Aren't you the Messiah?" he said. "Save yourself and us." But the other criminal, this one the church later identified as Dismas, rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence?" So you have Gestas and you have Dismas. And you may remember Barabbas as well. And I'll give you just the quick version of the story today. Jesus is arrested and taken before Pilate, and Pilate hears the people's accusations about Jesus, who he claims to be, what they've seen him doing in the streets and marketplaces and villages all about. But Pilate wants nothing to do with this. He wants nothing of it. He sends Jesus to Herod. And when Jesus stands before Herod is actually excited to meet Jesus. He's been been wanting to see one of these miracles happen. He's been wanting to see it with his own eyes, witness it personally. And so he starts asking Jesus all of these questions, all of these questions about what he's been doing and who he claims to be. And the Bible said that Jesus does not respond. He does not answer. And so Herod gets increasingly more frustrated. And the Bible tells us that Herod and his soldiers all mocked Jesus. They tried to shame him and make fun of him. They put a royal robe on him. He thinks he's king of the Jews. Then let's put a robe on him. But ultimately, Herod wants nothing to do with this situation, and he sends him back to Pilate. Pilate still wants no part of this, but the crowds are demanding death. The crowds keep crying out, "Crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him! Away with this man! Release Barabbas to us." History says that Barabbas was a known murderer. He's just been arrested, and everyone is glad to have Barabbas off the streets. My daughter is home from college in Athens, and just a few weeks ago, there was a tragedy. There was a murder right there on a part of the campus that happened on a Thursday morning, if I remember correctly. And by Friday afternoon, they already had the man in custody, video proof and all of the evidence. And there was a sigh of relief. I was in Athens over that weekend for some college events with my daughter, and everyone was relieved. Everyone was breathing a little more relaxed because they knew the murderer had been caught. You got to imagine, just apply that modern situation to this situation. They've just arrested a murderer, and everyone is glad to have him off the street. But when given the opportunity, do you want Jesus to be killed? Do you want Jesus to be punished, or do you want Barabbas to be released? And the people said, "We want Barabbas." It's hard to fathom that. It's hard to imagine that. It doesn't even make sense to me. And so history says that Gestas and Dismas were the number one and number two commanders along with Barabbas. It was supposed to be those three on Golgotha's crosses. Gestas, Dismas, Barabbas, men of bad reputation, men of guilty of terrible crimes, men who deserve to die for the things that they had done. And Barabbas is saying, "Are you sure?" He literally keeps asking the people, "Are you sure? Why? And because of political pressure, Pilate gave them their wish as they cried, "Crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him!" So verse 39, as we read, says that one of the criminals, Gestas, who hung there, hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal, Dismas, rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said, "since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly." There's no denying what we have done, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man, speaking of Jesus, has done nothing wrong. Dismas' knowledge of Jesus is what he's seen in Jesus' final moments. He's lived his whole life without knowing him. Lived his whole life without experiencing him. Lived his whole life without coming into contact with him or having met him. While crowds are cheering, while soldiers are gambling at the foot of the cross, Jesus keeps loving people. Because here's a life truth. The worst version of us is usually seen in our worst moments. The worst of who we are is usually what is seen when our back is up against the wall, when things are not working, when we feel pressure from every side. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus does his best work in your worst moments. Jesus does his greatest miracles when you are facing your greatest need. I couldn't help but believe as I struggled to sleep all through the night that Jesus was going to do a miracle for someone in this room. I couldn't help but believe that someone was going to come today, maybe at the invitation of a friend or a family member, and maybe you're having your worst week or your worst season or your worst month, but Jesus is about to do his best work in your worst season. Does anybody believe he's able to do it? So you got Dismas, one thief, and you got Dismas, another thief, on the right, on the left. But what about this third thief? You know why I call Jesus the third thief? Because he literally stole Dismas from the devil. You need proof today? Then he said, Dismas speaking, Jesus, remember me. Remember me a criminal. Remember me a murderer. Remember me, a thief, when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered in verse 43, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Here the three of us are on crosses, you thief and you thief and me about to do some thievery of my own. I got you, Dismas, say less. Today you will be with me. Jesus said, you're not the only thief hanging today. You're not the only one who knows how to steal. Jesus said, I am the third thief and I am stealing you from hell. I can hear Jesus saying, you want to hear about some of the things I stole? He said, there was a woman at the well one day. She and I were fussing about water for a while. But eventually I asked her to go and get her husband, because Jesus is all about your whole family. He's not about just bringing peace to you. He's about bringing peace to everybody in your house and everyone you're connected to. So he said, go and get your husband. He said, because it was never about the water at the bottom of this well. It's about I am the water, and I have something that can satisfy and quench the thirst of your soul. She says, husband, and all of a sudden things got really awkward, and she hung her head because she actually had five husbands. Everybody knew her in town. She had the reputation, but Jesus said, I am the thief that stole her shame. I'm the thief that stole her embarrassment. I'm the thief that stole her bad reputation. That woman went into the village and called everybody she knew. And here come the entire town out to meet Jesus, and he starts healing and saving and blessing people. Why? Because he is a thief that knows how to steal your shame from you. It's the third thief. Dismas, let me tell you about 10 lepers. They had been banished. They had been abandoned. They had such disease and such crisis in their life that anybody who came anywhere near them, no one was allowed to get within certain distance. They were crying out, "I'm unclean. I'm unclean. Stay away from me. I'm contagious. I'll ruin your life. I'll mess you up. Stay away from me." They're living on the outskirts of town, living on the outskirts of normalcy, living on the outskirts of sanity. And Jesus says, hey guys, come here. I want you to go and show yourself to the priest. Just go, let the priest see you. And the Bible said that as they went, they were healed. As they walked, their bodies were being renewed. As they went, their bodies were being healed. Jesus said, "I stole isolation from those lepers. I stole loneliness from those lepers." Can I tell you about the third thief that knows how to steal your loneliness, knows how to steal your brokenness, knows how to steal your isolation in your life? He is a savior like none other. Maybe you've heard of Bartimaeus. He sat on the side of the road begging, "Change, change. Anybody got change for me? Anybody got change for my life?" A coin would fall into his cup now and then, but one day he heard about a thief coming down the road. I thought about Bartimaeus while reading this week. He's sitting there, a blind man. I'm sure there were people that had come by and quietly look over in this cup to see if there were any coins inside. And maybe while Bartimaeus was distracted, he couldn't see them. He could hear them, he could smell them, he could sense them, but they could sneak in and just grab something out of his cup. And maybe Bartimaeus heard there was a thief coming. Bartimaeus was on high alert, but suddenly Bartimaeus began to sense something different about the man coming down the road. And so Bartimaeus, the Bible said, began to cry out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." The people tried to shut him up. "Bartimaeus, be quiet. Hold your peace, man. Don't holler out like that." But the Bible said that Bartimaeus cried that much more aloud. No, I'm excited about this thief because he's about to steal blindness from me. He's about to take my debilitating situation away from me. He's about to take the reason I'm stuck on the side of the road away from me. The third thief stole blindness, and all of a sudden Bartimaeus had a future that he could run into. That's how amazing he is. Because not only will he do that for Bartimaeus, he'll do that for you. He'll steal your blindness. He'll steal your lack of vision. He'll steal your lack of purpose for your life. And all of a sudden, when he gets finished working, when he gets finished moving, when he gets finished blessing your life, suddenly I've got purpose. Suddenly I've got a future. Suddenly I'm excited about tomorrow because he stole blindness from me. Dismas. Sounds a lot like dismiss to me. Dismiss, I'm stealing you from the devil. Dismiss, I dismiss your charges. I cancel your appointment. I'm stealing you from the devil. Truly, I tell you today, can I tell you about the miracle of today? Can I tell you what God is able to do today? Can I tell you the ways in which he wants to work today? You say, Pastor Darrell, I love the story. I love the message, but I don't know about today. I mean, I know it's Easter, and I kind of came expecting you were going to fish in my direction, and you were going to try to get my attention. But I need to tell you about today, because the Lord came ready to move in your life today. He came ready to work in your life today. I don't know what's going to happen next week. I don't know what's going on next month. I only know that I am promised today the next few moments, and I've got to make a decision about what I'm going to do with my life today. Today you will be with me in paradise. You understand, Dismas, that death is what you deserve, but I am paying the price to set you free today. 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 Today is the day of salvation. But you need to know something. This was not Jesus' last heist. This was not his last move. This was not his last caper, because while Jesus drew his last breath and they pulled him down from the cross and they put him into that borrowed tomb 3 days and three nights, but Jesus was busy while he was in that tomb, because the Bible said that he went to hell during those 3 days and took the devil's keys to death, hell, and the grave. Revelation 1:18, I am the living one. I died, but look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and the grave. Do you understand, ladies and gentlemen, that the devil doesn't even have keys to his own house? Jesus stole them. He stole them. Because he's the third thief. You're in good company, Gistis. You're in good company, Dismas. I wish you didn't have such an attitude right now, Gistis. I wish you would follow the footsteps of Dismas, because his life, his eternity will never be the same, because I am stealing him from hell. The Bible said that he stole death. He stole death. That Sunday morning that we're here to commemorate and celebrate and be thankful for, Mary was first to arrive on the scene. John and Peter were coming not far behind. Guys, you're not going to believe this. Guys, you better get ready. You're about to see something that is going to blow your mind. He is not here. He is not inside. What happened? He stole death. And he is alive. He is alive. He is alive forever. Is anybody thankful? Is anybody grateful? The third thief. The third thief. The third thief. He stole death. I wish this Easter that you would allow him to steal your sadness. I wish this Easter that you would allow him to steal your pain. I wish you would allow him to steal your brokenness. He'll just kind of come into your life. He snuck up on a few of you. Some of you are saved today and you never saw him coming. He just started working and moving and orchestrating and putting pieces together and moving people in and out of your life and began to work. And before you knew it, you were at an altar somewhere saying, Lord, I surrender everything I am and everything I have. I give you me. I say yes to you. And he stole your sin. He stole it. He's got the best hiding places, because the Bible said that he takes our sin and he casts it as far as the east is from the west, to the point that he can't even remember where it is. That's how good, that's how amazing he is. That's how powerful he is. I don't know what you're carrying today. I don't know what you're wrestling with. I don't know what's happening in your life. I don't know what the struggle is or what the pain is, whether it's emotional or physical or relational or where and what exactly is happening. But I'm telling you, this Savior is ready to save. This Jesus is ready to do what Jesus does best. He's ready to take your ashes and give you joy. He's ready to take your sorrow and give you peace. He's ready to bless your life.